Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mohl ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
Hey, what's up, my friends? Thanks for coming to hang on with me today on the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. This is episode number 207, and I'm Rick Mulready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business, because that's what this is all about, right? So it's been my goal this year to mix in some episodes here on the podcast about different ways to grow your business, not just Facebook ads or paid traffic. And also, it's been a goal of mine to start opening up more to you guys, to peel back the layers a bit and show you more of the struggles and the challenges in getting my business to where it is and how I've overcome them. Now, if you heard my special episode number 200 here in the show, you heard Amy Porterfield ask me a lot about my challenges with worry, anxiety, and fear over the years. It used to be crippling for me. Well, today is one of those episodes where I'm going to share a not often talked about approach to growing your business that has really, really helped me, while also getting a bit vulnerable and sharing some more of my struggles and challenges so that you can learn from them. So today, I'm welcoming back my good friend and coach, Jim Fortin. Now, if that name rings a bell, Jim is a transformation coach, and he joined me back on episode number 173, where we talked about how to ethically use subconscious selling to improve your marketing and increase sales. We got a lot of great feedback on that episode. Now, I haven't talked about it a whole lot, but I coached with Jim for the first 8 months of this year, and he's been the reason why I've never been more productive in my business or generated more revenue in my business to date this year. And I asked him to come back on the show this time so that he can share with you some of the things that he worked on with me, which has resulted in a completely transformed business and a completely transformed person in myself this year. So today we talk about things like why mindset and hard work will not get you the results that you want in your business. We talk about subconscious and brain-based habits. We talk about subconscious persuasion and influence. We get into why being committed to an outcome in your business is the difference in growing your business and staying stagnant. I love that conversation. I had such a hard time at first wrapping my head around that concept, but once I did, it was like a huge light bulb moment. And so we dive into that today. Jim breaks that down. He also breaks down this whole model that he calls be, do, have, and how it can literally transform your life overnight. That is not some, you know, markety, scammy kind of thing. That is the real truth, because I've done it myself. This is something that he taught me earlier this year, this whole be, do, have model, and it literally just broke open so many things for me. And so I asked him to share that with you as well. And we get into a whole lot more here today with Jim. This is one of those episodes that you're going to want to come back to a couple times. because there is so much gold in it from Jim. And you're likely going to be listening along and you'd be like, what? What does he just say? Let me rewind it again. So what I'd recommend that you do is listen to it all the way through once and then go back to it. Okay. Now, if you're anything like me, you'll hear something and you'll hit that little back 15 second back button. That's cool. But make sure that you listen all the way through and it will make complete sense when you do that and then go back and listen to it. I do that a lot with podcasts. I'm like, man, I gotta go back and listen to that a couple more times. So, again, this one is a really good one. I'm really, really glad and fortunate to bring Jim back to you here on the show. So without further ado, let's dive right into it with Jim Fortin. Jim, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great and I'm glad to be here today.
So I'm like pausing because there's so many different things I want to talk to you about here today. So you were a guest back on episode 173, and we talked about how to ethically use subconscious selling to improve your marketing and increase sales. That's the title of that podcast episode.
Yep.
And I wanted to have you back on because, number one, that episode stirred so many conversations. I got a lot of feedback about that episode and what you taught during that. So I wanted to kind of have you back on to kind of take this conversation to sort of the next step, the next sort of iteration of this whole thing, and be kind of maybe take a step back and talk about mindset and hard work and the whole why those things don't necessarily won't get you the results that you want and that sort of thing. You know, I've been kind of mixing it up here on the show, mm-hmm. starting to mix in other episodes along with obviously the Facebook ads and the funnels and all that fun stuff, but really talking about too the things and the sort of intangible things, if you will, that go into growing your business. And that's really what I want to focus on here today with you. We're going to be sharing a lot of personal stuff with me because I've been working with you most of 2018, and yeah. It has been hugely transformational for me this year. So before we get into it, though, let's recap for anybody who has not listened to 173 yet, who doesn't know who you are. Who is Jim Fortin? What are you up to these days?
Okay. Well, obviously, when I was on that podcast, we did talk about subconscious persuasion and influence and how to use it ethically to get people to buy, to follow, whatever you want them to do. For those of you listening, I've been teaching subconscious persuasion and influence for about 20 years, how to get into people's brains, how to get in their head, brain triggers, social triggers, hypnotic language patterns, how to pull people in basically and get them to do what you want. And as you know, what I'm teaching now, and it's kind of an addendum, and it kind of works hand in hand, is subconscious performance, how to get into our own minds and influence our own minds, and how to actually create transformation. So like when you started talking about people working really hard and all that, mm-hmm. as you well know, we've been around the block, you know, we've been online for years, and you see it with your students and a lot of people we know, is people work really, really, really hard, and they read all the books, and they still are struggling to make money.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's where I want to go today, is unconscious and subconscious transformation, which, by the way, guys, I've done this a lot of years also. Just to reference and preface our conversation, is I've taught subconscious persuasion and influence, and I'm finding that I really enjoy the transformational work even more than the influence work, because the transformational work has to come first. So for everyone listening, what I'm telling you guys is everybody always wants the next strategy, the next this, the next that, the next technique, not recognizing that all the new stuff they learn and all the new skills are only as effective as they are a human being. Mm. And if you're not effective as a human being in terms of things we'll talk about on this call, then all the new strategies don't matter because you won't use them anyway. And if you don't use them, you won't make any money.
Yeah. And I'm going to preface this conversation for everybody listening. Like, this is going to be one of those episodes to go back and listen to a couple times. Because what I have found in working with Jim this year is that, you know, I hear it for the first time, and then it takes me a little bit to kind of for it to sink in. And then mm-hmm. oftentimes I'll hear it two or three times from Jim and I'm like, oh, okay, got it now. Got it. Okay. It makes sense now. Before we dive into this stuff here, you mentioned you've been doing this a long time. Can you give a little recap about your work, your brother-in-law? I mean, I know that you talked about that on episode 173, but again, for those people who have not yet listened to that, share a little bit about your background from that perspective.
Very, very quickly here, because I know they want to get into the meat and potatoes, yeah. but they also want to know who actually is, you know, they're listening to.
Yeah.
Long story very short, I've been a master practitioner of neurolinguistic programming, NLP. Many of you have probably heard of NLP for a lot of years. The lady who taught me actually learned from Bandler and Grinder, the co-developers of NLP, and we were business partners for a lot of years. How I got to where I am today is when I was in my 20s, I was trading Forex, foreign exchange. I was making a lot of money overnight. I lost everything, lost about equivalent to $1 million today overnight. I was a greedy kid. I had no money set aside, and I was basically destitute and broke. And I started saying, how do people come back from this? And I started reading motivational stuff, but I wasn't getting a change that I want. Then I got into neurolinguistics, and I still wasn't getting the change that I wanted myself. Then I got into hypnosis, which most people do not know is endorsed by Harvard, Stanford, Yale, Columbia, etc. And I used to do hypnotherapy many, many years ago. And I had one of my clients when I lived in New York at Goldman Sachs say, Jim, can you teach me how to influence my clients like you've influenced me? And I said, yes. And that's what started my career in subconscious persuasion and influence. And all of this obviously plays out. I mean, influencing other people, we all want to influence ourselves and we don't know how. So I've taught people for years how to reprogram their mind subconsciously, which we'll get into. And then my brother-in-law thing, it will be a little relevant, but my brother-in-law is a shaman. Shamans are healers. They were the advisors to Mayan kings. They're like medicine men in Native American tribes. And I've worked with him over 20 years. And he has brought a great, great deal of mental wisdom to me. I mean, how we even work mentally and the labyrinths of the mind and how to get into the mind and how to use higher function of the mind. So I bring a lot of that into my coaching and even into the wisdom that I bring into the coaching, which things I've done with you over the past year. Mm-hmm. So that's the background in a nutshell. A little longer than I wanted.
No,
that's the background.
That's great. I just want to create some context for, again, for people who don't know your background and why we're talking about and why we're talking about what we are today and how we're talking about it. So,
okay, perfect.
You know, and so how does all of this, everything you just mentioned and this whole, you know, this whole concept of subconscious persuasion and influence and that sort of thing, how does all this stuff help us grow our business?
All right. So what I'd like to do is segue a little bit from that question and talk about the subconscious part of it.
Sure.
And what I'd like to talk about today, if you're okay with that, which we've worked with on you, mm-hmm. is subconscious and brain-based habits. And I don't mean the kind of habits people read at, you know, read in books or see on, you know, YouTube or Facebook, like you got to make your bed every day and stuff like that. I'm talking about functional habits to grow our business that people don't even understand what habits are. And then I'd like to talk about identity, which is how we create our entire lives, how we create our businesses from the inside out, how we create our business from who we identify and how we identify as, how we create our business from our self-image, and our business will directly reflect our self-image. So those are the two main categories, and yep. We can dig in wherever you want.
Totally, yeah. And as I mentioned before we started recording here, I just want to reiterate, you know, we've covered a lot of, obviously we've been working together, or not obviously, but as I mentioned, we've been working together this year. Yeah. It's cool to bring up stories that I've shared with you, like some of the struggles that I've had, like Paris and stuff, when where that fits into what we're talking about here. So go for it.
Let's do that. Okay. So a little backstory, guys, is Rick and I started talking we'd met the year prior. Mm-hmm. And he was in Paris. He was literally 9,000 miles away from San Diego, and he was worried about his business. His body was in Paris, but his brain was back in San Diego.
And this is in January January 2018. So 8 months ago, my wife and I were traveling for 3 weeks.
Yep. And you had, in those 3 weeks, I'd even ask you like this, you know, midway through, you know, what's going on, et cetera. And you're like, well, I'm worried and I have anxiety about all this kind of stuff that, mind you, hadn't even happened or probably would never happened. Mm-hmm. But what I want, and by the way, people listening, how much fear and worry do you get into relative to your business? You know, we're not going to hit our numbers. This is not going to happen. Is this launch going to go okay or whatever it is? But what I want to look at there, number one, is you had probably done that behavior for quite some time prior to, you know, when we started talking.
For sure.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, 8 months later, we haven't talked about it specifically, but I would assume you don't do that anymore or it's greatly diminished.
Yeah, very much diminished. Yes, for sure.
So notice this, is when you were doing it, you were in the habit of being worried.
Yep.
And now you're no longer in the habit of being worried. As a matter of fact, you are now in the habit of being confident.
Yep. Exactly.
Right? Feeling good, knowing where your business is going to go. And also knowing this is a characteristic of being and a way of being, but you're also being 100% responsible for the outcomes. And you know that gives you power, because when you're 100% responsible for what happens in your business, there's no reason to worry, because worry is insecure thinking. And when you worry, what you're actually saying is, you know what? I have no influence over my future, which is what you were doing when you were in Paris.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Right. Is there anything you want to add to that story? And we can, you know, muse and kick it around a little more.
Yeah, I think just to add some additional context to what, so what was going on with me was, so my wife and I had planned to, so Amy and I had planned to go to be in Paris and London for about 3 weeks in January of 2018. And so I think what happened, or I know what happened, was I didn't plan the first part, the first quarter very well of 2018 and from a revenue perspective. And we just, you know, and so it just didn't, the first quarter was such a blur to me because of so much going on between the trip and events and I was speaking and all this other stuff that we had going on. And that was the focus. Like that was the focus for Q1. But when I get over to Paris, here I am, you know, literally and figuratively detached from everything. But I was worrying about, holy cow, you know, it was just sort of dawning on me of what you talk about responsibility of what I had set up in the business or what I had not set up in the business. Mm-hmm. And so I was, that caused me to worry. And, you know, it was driving me crazy because we'd been so looking forward to spending this time in Paris and we, you know, it's our favorite city in the world. And, you know, this just amazing city. And like, but here I was sort of half there and half not. And that's unfair, you know, not only to myself, but certainly to my wife. Like I wanted to be fully present to her. And so just to kind of add some context to what we're talking about here of where I was worrying and why I was worrying and the anxiety that was that I was bringing up for myself during that time.
Yeah. So let me take that and run with that for a second. So guys, let me give you a little backstory here about habits. Research has demonstrated that up to 95% of everything that you do is obviously habit. I mean, you brush your teeth in the morning, you don't even think about it. It's just a habit, you just do it. What research has demonstrated is that our brains make our decisions for us. Even while we think we're analytically making our decisions, our brain is doing it for us. So every one of you listening right now, you are where you are in your business, just like Rick was in Paris. You are where you are in your business because of your unconscious habits. Now, let's go back to Paris with you. Before Paris, you had said that you didn't plan your first quarter revenue very well.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So I never ask you this in coaching because we dug right into it. But if we look back on this, what habits were you getting into that allowed you to actually not plan your first quarter? Because what you're telling me, and this applies to a lot of people, is that you weren't in the habit, which you are now, you weren't in the habit of planning that first quarter.
Exactly.
Because you let other things distract you. So that's a great, great metaphor for people listening now, is that now you didn't consciously say, you know, what habits should I be in before I go to Paris? Right. What habits do I need? What habits do I not need?
Right.
Right? You were just being you.
Yeah.
And as a result, your first quarter wasn't where you wanted it to be. But the takeaway for everybody is you were operating unconsciously. I mean, you weren't having all these like thoughts about, well, how am I operating right now? And what habits am I, you know, utilizing right now? Mm-hmm. What habits do I need right now? You were just being air quote you. And that habitual being you back then allowed you to not plan your first quarter.
Yep.
That is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about habits.
Yeah.
Let me give you a metaphor here. A really good example happened to me a couple of days ago is I have a new cleaning person coming in to clean the house, and she didn't put a trash bag in the trash can in the kitchen. And I went over, tossed the paper towel in, and I'm like, there's no, I just flipped the lid, you know, you hit it with your foot. I flipped it up, tossed it in, not recognizing there wasn't a bag.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I got to put a bag in it. So I resume what I was doing. I go back, hit the foot pedal again, toss another paper towel in. And I'm like, dang it, there's not a bag in there. I had already forgotten from 1 minute later that there wasn't a bag in there. And I got busy again and went back and did it a third time within about a 5 minute period. And I'm like, good God, that is the power of habits. I'm operating unconsciously on autopilot, and I don't even know that I'm doing it, because if I did, I wouldn't have hit the foot pedal three times.
Yeah.
So put a bag in the trash can.
Right.
You know, and I did. But that illustrates that we operate, which research demonstrates, every one of you listening, we all, just like Rick was doing before Paris, we operate on autopilot. And if you're not getting what you want and the growth and the money in your business, just like you weren't when you were in Paris, then your autopilot's not working. And you've got to actually change that autopilot. but no one ever thinks about that. We try to read books and go to seminars and all this kind of stuff. That's all what I call external. We get rah-rahed up for a couple of days. We go home and then we're right back in our old patterns again.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you mentioned before the results and success coming from the inside rather than the external. Can you talk a little bit more about that too?
Yeah. Well, your business has changed. It's not where it was a year ago, right?
Sure. Yep.
We still live in the same world. We're still on planet Earth, right?
Yep.
Best I know. We still have the same economy for the most part. Mm-hmm. Facebook's still around. Mm-hmm. All your friends and family and everything else is still around, right? So what changed?
I did.
Exactly. What changed is not the external world, but the internal world.
Yep.
And so to answer your question more specifically now, after using that example, is most people actually work by what I call do, be, have, which you've heard me talk about before, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Yep.
So people say, well, if I go do things, if I go lead generate, if I go prospect, if I go do my funnels, if I go do X, Y, Z, then I'm going to be successful and I can have the money that I want. Now, that's a backwards model. Because all of you guys listening, do you notice that most times you don't even do what you need to do to be what you need to be to have what you want? It's a broken performance strategy. Where you're now working from is what I call be, do, have. Who do I have to be to do what I need to do to have what I want? Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at, see, being is an internal way. So who do I have to be? So you're working from being, which is internal, now from the inside out instead of the doing, which is the outside in. This is why so many people fail in their businesses. And you see all the big, you know, hypesters on Instagram and Facebook and all this kind of stuff. And they say things like, you know, you've got to take massive action and you got to work till your eyeballs bleed. Mm-hmm. That crap doesn't work, because if it did, wouldn't everybody who takes massive action be successful for the most part? Wouldn't everybody who works really, really hard, you know, works till their eyeballs bleed, wouldn't they be successful as well? But they're not. And they're not because of a place we want to go in a bit is because of their identity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you do. What matters, and it matters to some degree, but let me preface that, to some degree. But what matters most is who you are. What are your subconscious paradigms? Are your subconscious paradigms about wealth or your subconscious paradigms about struggle? In the past, when you were in Paris, part of your subconscious paradigm, which doesn't exist anymore, was about worry.
Yep.
For some reason, you had a belief that if you worried, which you now know doesn't work, you had a belief that, oh, I'm 9,000 miles away, but if I worry, that's going to make things different.
Yeah. And one of the connections that we were able to make from that, sorry to interrupt, is that I equated worry with control. If the more that I worry, then I'm controlling. There was this illusion of control. Like, you know, if I'm worried like this, then I'm controlling the matter. And that's, you know, and I needed to, you know, it took me a while in talking with you about this and working through this to realize that. I remember that day, like, oh, like it was just a big light bulb that went off. I'm like,
okay, I remember that.
I had this illusion of that worry is I'm controlling the matter when that couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, let's go there for a second. So, yeah, I remember now that you mentioned that, because we talked about worry. What came from that is what you just said, is that you believed if you worried about your business, you could control your business.
Yep.
Now, what I told you in that moment is that control is an illusion, and people that get into control issues are controlled by the illusion of control. Remember that?
Yep, for sure.
And then what we recognized is your business wasn't growing to the degree that you wanted, because you were trying to control it and you had your hands on the wheel, as opposed to doing your expertise and doing what you're great at and letting other people do some of the things that you could let go of when you took your hands off the wheel.
Yep.
You remember that? Now Absolutely. Your business is in a different place.
Yep.
So notice that actually a lack of business growth came from worry, when you actually thought that the worry was going to produce business growth.
Right. It took me a long time to realize that, but absolutely. Yep.
But you did. And that's the great thing, is that you recognize it now.
Yep.
And you recognize, I call them strategies. The strategy that you were using of worry was actually hurting your business, and you actually thought it was helping your business.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And talking about, also going back to that hard work part, you know, and when you talk about habits and stuff like that, the hard work, because you said, like, what do you think you were doing in the, towards the end, like say in Q4 of 2017, to set up that type of quarter that, you know, Q1 was for me, where I was like, all right, I didn't have the things in place that I wanted to. Well, the habits I was in is exactly what you're talking about here. The hard work. I was like so into the control portion, into the day to day, you know, of the business in Q4, that it didn't allow me to plan ahead. Like, I didn't allow myself, I should say, to plan ahead. And so I was in the habit of that hard work. Like, and granted, we were very successful in 2017. We had a great year. However, because of the identity that I had taken on and the habits that I was used to doing, it didn't allow me to set up Q1 like I feel like I should have and like I wanted to.
Yeah, and let's go back to simplicity here. You were in the habit of whatever you're doing prior to us working together.
Yeah.
Now, let me add something there also. One of our very good friends, somebody that's coached you for a lot of years and actually or some time, and I've coached him. Mm-hmm. He's in Fiji surfing right now. And you know who I'm talking about. And last year, same thing. He attributes to me helping him make an additional 25% revenue in 2017. And so we did one-to-one coaching. And he messaged me. We talked last month. And he goes, you know what? In my mind, I doubled what I wanted to make in 2017 and 2018, literally doubled my revenue. And halfway through 2018, we had already actually been at the halfway mark, which means we're on target to double our revenue this year. Mm-hmm. Now, he's off surfing for what, 13 days or whatever? Plus, he was in Africa a couple of weeks ago. And I think he's taken 15 vacations in the past year. But he used to have that very same belief, is that if I don't work hard and I don't just like control every bit of my business, then it's going to fail. And what he found is when he stopped trying to control everything, everything opened up for him. Because I told him exactly what I told you. Take your hands off the wheel. Give the wheel to your integrator.
Yeah.
Give the wheel to your second in command so that you can do what you're good at and your expertise and let someone else do this. But the takeaway for people listening is that you were in, which a lot of people get into this, you were in the issue of control because you thought that would make you more money when it was actually making you less money.
Yeah.
And you're working 10 times as hard.
Exactly. Exactly. How would somebody do that? So if somebody's listening right now and says, well, I don't have a team yet. I don't have an integrator. I don't have a number two. It's just me right now. Yes, I'm working towards that. But how can I apply this if it's just me in the business?
Okay, so let's segue here a little bit. First off, I'm going to tell you right now, you guys listening, you know if you're a control freak or not. And if you don't know if you are or you're not, ask a friend because they will tell you whether you are or you're not. You might want to go ask your wife in the past. And even, you remember when we started coaching together, Rick, do you remember the control issue that you were getting into because you didn't get the PDF the day you wanted it, when you wanted it, how you wanted it?
Absolutely.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And like, so guys listening, I knew right away by working with him is that he had control issues. And he even said, well, I think my wife might have alluded to some of that. So
yes,
I'm telling you guys listening, if you want to know if you have a control issue, ask somebody. Now, to answer your question is look at that first and then look at what you're trying to control. And this is what I want you to recognize first, and then I'll give you a bigger answer here, is that you can't control anything. You can't even control your thinking, because if you could, you wouldn't get back into negative thinking sometimes. You can choose your thinking, but you cannot control your thinking. And if you could control things, then you can control everything. But quite literally, you can control nothing, which means you cannot control things. So then you look at how are you getting into control in your business. Now, if you're an independent person working alone, they don't have a team like you and I, this is what I would say. Let's go back to be, do, have. And who do I have to be? What is my identity? Who do I have to be and what characteristics do I have to demonstrate to show up in the most effective way in my business? And what I would say there is if you said, Jim, pick one characteristic that is paramount to business success. It's something that everyone talks about, but very few people can demonstrate. And we'll talk about why. But is be committed to a particular outcome. Very few people are 100% committed to an outcome. They think they know the outcome. They think they're committed. But yet Friday afternoon rolls around. It's sunny outside. A buddy calls and says, hey, let's go play golf. And they go play golf. That's not committed to an outcome if you're truly committed to an outcome. Now, providing you're getting the outcomes you want, then you maybe have the freedom to do that. But people don't understand the concept of commitment. And if you look at the world that we live in, is we don't have to stay committed to anything because anything's instant and delivered to us right away. You want something from Amazon Prime, you order it, it's there in 2 hours. That makes sense, right?
Totally. Can you use another example there? Because I mean, this was a huge breakthrough for me in understanding, you know, the whole commitment part. And I remember asking you between commitment and being 100% responsible, I said, how does that directly relate to growing my business? And I remember he said, like, are you serious? Like, are you seriously asking that question?
I remember that.
Yeah. And I was like, well, yeah, like, I'm not quite putting it together. So you just mentioned, like, if you're committed to an outcome and Friday afternoon rolls around and, you know, something comes up, like, you know, that it, whether you do it or not, that's a form of commitment right there. Can you use another example there of how commitment fits into whether your business is growing or not? And you know, the whole be do have.
Yeah, and I'm still laughing at that because at our call, I remember now you're like, I want to talk about something. How is commitment and responsibility related to my business?
Yeah, yeah.
And then after I picked myself up off the floor laughing.
just to caveat this, we had been working together. I've been working with Jim for a few months at this point. It wasn't like day one where, you know, like I should know this. We'd been through this quite a bit. And I remember it was over the weekend or something that I thought about this and I was like, all right, I gotta remember to ask Jim about this when we talked the following week. And so it had been a while we'd gone through a lot of different iterations of this.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember that now. So let me answer that with a couple of different scenarios here. Number one, I may or may not have told you, I read a book a long time ago by a Navy SEAL, and we'll talk about self-integrity here for a second and then roll that in commitment and then roll that into business growth. This Navy SEAL said that he told himself that he was going to run every morning, I think 2 miles for, I don't know, 3 months or something. And then what happened is one morning he woke up and he had the flu. And he said to himself, do I get up and run and perhaps feel worse later, or do I stay in bed and heal myself? And what he did is he got up and ran. He got up and ran because he said that he would do it. Now, there's been a Harvard study done, and Dr. Michael Jensen at Harvard said that this is one of the most underutilized concepts in business. And all of you guys listening now, this will blow your mind when you get it, because I'm going to tell you right now, you fit into the 80-20 rule, which means 80% of the time, you don't follow what I'm going to share with you now. Now, what Dr. Michael Jensen was talking about is self-integrity, meaning do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Now, being 100% transparent, I told Rick that I would send him some stuff by Wednesday evening. And actually, I was all done. I was ready to go by Wednesday evening. And I got sidetracked and I didn't send it till Thursday morning. I was out of integrity because I told him I would do something at a particular time and I didn't get it done that night. So by the way, I'm actually in integrity now by cleaning that up with you because I wanted to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But for ourselves, when I do a little bit of a survey with people, they'll take a survey and they'll say, you know what? I'm really integral with other people. When I tell them I'll do something, I'll do it. But myself, I really don't do it. So every one of you listening, what Harvard discovered is that when you actually keep your word to yourself, when you do what you say you're going to do, your productivity will increase anywhere from 100 to 500% with no additional input simply by keeping your word to yourself. So let's go back to commitment that you mentioned earlier a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So if you're not staying committed, then you're not keeping your word to yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you're not keeping your word to yourself and you're not staying committed, then how can you grow your business? Because you can say, you know what? I'll write that copy Monday. Monday rolls around and you're like, I don't feel like copy today. I'll do it tomorrow. And then Tuesday rolls around. And before you know what, a week has already gone by when you could have had your copy up last Monday. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So then let me ask you, were you being responsible or irresponsible with the growth of your business?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're being irresponsible there.
Yeah, no one ever thinks about that. All you guys listening, all of you, for the most part, are probably to a large degree. Well, I'll tell you this, and I'll just tell you candidly. If your business is not doing really well, that is your responsibility, and you're being irresponsible somewhere in what you need to do or who you need to be to grow that business. But what we all do, what people do, and I don't do it, you don't, but people who don't know this do it, so I'll say most people, is they blame it on something outside of themselves. And then they work by circumstance. Well, I can't do it because I didn't have enough time, or I didn't have enough money. Anytime you say, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough energy, you're working by circumstance. And when you work by circumstance, you keep repeating your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So when we step up and say, you know, the old little motivational phrase, if it is to be, it's up to me. When we live and we are being that kind of person, that's when things happen. When things don't happen is when we think it's up to everyone else, or external circumstances affect my business or the economy or whatever it is. We're not being 100% responsible.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me add here one more thing.
Sure.
One more thing is that, you know, I have an integrator, Nikki, and right now we're doing some things together. And if something doesn't get done, like I personally said, because I went back and looked, I said, I will have that email to Justin by Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said that. Now, Nikki, obviously being my integrator, picks up all the pieces and cleans up behind me. I mean, she does everything. But you know what? It's not Nikki's fault that it didn't get done. It's mine. It comes back to me, because I have to be 100% responsible for every aspect of my business. Now, I rarely ever have to go behind Nikki and look at things and kind of, you know, see if everything's done. Rarely, because she's really good at it. But if something's not done, I don't look at her. I look at me, because I'm responsible for the business. So hopefully that helps the listeners.
For sure. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, if we are like I was, and I still catch myself, if something doesn't get done, you know, from the team's perspective, it's like, all right, like for so many, like we talk about habit for so many years, it's like, wait, it's that person's fault. You're like blaming that person.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
You got to take 100% responsibility there. You mentioned working from circumstance, and I just kind of want you to add to that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where let's just say that our goal is to make, I don't know, $100,000 in the next month, let's just say. And we've never done that before. And so we think we almost dismiss the goal because we're working from past circumstance. That's something that you and I talked a lot about mm-hmm. over the past several months. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like working from where you don't want to be working from past circumstance, you want to be working to the future.
Yeah, let me add two things there. So back in 2010, I used to coach heavily in the real estate industry. The economy came down. A lot of agents were like, whoa, you know, woe is me. The economy is so bad. Nobody's buying. Nobody's selling. Blah, blah, blah. I can't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this kid that was in a program that I did. And I did a lot of training in this company. This kid, 23 years old, moved here from San Diego, didn't know anybody, not a single person. And he sold 14 homes his very first year. I mean, that kid worked, he did work hard. He didn't know any other way. He literally pounded the phones all day long. How is it that people that can be in an industry and know and have a circle of influence in Dallas and they can be in the industry 20 years, can't sell 5 homes, but yet this kid who's got no circle of influence can come here brand new and sell 14 homes?
Yeah.
He's not working from circumstance. He's working from what I call possibility. What can I do? So that's one thing. Most people work from circumstance. And that is, okay, I look at my external world. Well, I'll give you an example. Somebody on Facebook posted recently, I have $7,000 to spend on marketing this year in 2018. Where should I spend it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that person is completely trapped, because what that person is saying is, I have this finite fixed amount of money, which is a circumstance. I'm not going to have any more. So where should I put this money? Not even recognizing, but where can I put this money to make more money? So this person was literally, and hopefully I'm explaining it clearly, they were literally working from, this is all I have, this is all that I can get.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right?
For sure. Yep.
So far. Okay.
Yep.
Now, past history. What people do, a metaphor here, is somebody will make $100,000 a year. And then what they'll do is they'll say, you know what? I made $100,000 this year. Okay. So I'm going to be reasonable. If I made $100,000 this year, I can make $125,000 next year. Yeah. That's a good idea. And they make $125,000. And they're like, well, I made $125,000 last year. I can make $150,000 this year. And people stair step their income. Whereas before we started talking, I've got a former client and a friend coming to visit. In 4 years, his company has gone from zero, brand new company, to the market value of the company, probably right at $250 million in 4 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
How did he do that?
Yep.
Ways of being.
Yeah.
He wasn't working from his past. He wasn't working from, and this, which I know we're on time frame today. He wasn't working from, what do I think I can do? He wasn't working from resignation. Oh, I don't have any money. I can't do this. As a matter of fact, when they started, he was losing $50,000 a month when he didn't have it to lose. Now he's got a $3 million home in San Diego. He's got an Aston Martin, brand new. I mean, he's got 100 employees.
Mm-hmm.
He's on fire.
Yeah.
So hang on here. So what we do is we work from our past, and we look, most of us look at, well, this is what I had yesterday. And if that's what I have yesterday, which is a circumstance, then I'm going to actually do a little better right now. And then most people want what I call more, better, different. I want a little more, a little better, a little different. When the truth is this, we can create anything that we want, which is how this person coming to visit actually is on the way here now, went from zero to a quarter of $1 billion market value in 4 years. So we have to work from the now. We have to work from what's possible, and anything is possible. We have to work from there and not looking at our bank account saying, oh, I've only got $1,000 for marketing, so that's what I'm trapped by. And that's how people work, most people, and it's very, very destructive.
Yeah, this, guys, for everybody listening, this right here, this is a concept here that I had a hard time grasping. Like, this is something that it sounds logical when you listen to it. I mean, it's like, well, yeah, of course. But I found it to be more challenging to actually put it into play, if you will. And I'm much better at it now. I still think that I can be better with it. But this right here is a game changer for it. I know that's like such an overused, cliched kind of term, game changer. But this right here, what Jim's talking about is, you know, working from, not working from past circumstances, working from the possibility of what, you know, what is in front of you. This right here can change your business really, really, really quickly.
Yeah, and also notice that when you're working from past, your past history, you're not being 100% responsible.
Yeah.
Because see, the definition of responsibility, according to Merriam-Webster, is to make something happen. And if you're not making it happen, it's because you're not responsible for making it happen. Now, let's go in. I took some notes here. Let's go into putting this into play. Everyone write this down. There's a formula.
Don't do this if you're driving. Don't do this if you're driving. Yeah, you're on the treadmill.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Yeah, if you're driving, no. But if you're not driving and you're somewhere, you can write this down. If you can't write it down now, write it down later. It is a formula. And I want you to write this sentence out, fill it in your own time. And this is the paradigm that you want to work from. Is, and I'll break it down once I give you the sentence and the paradigm. Who do I have to be? What do I have to do? And how would I feel if I already had blank? Who do I have to be? What do I have to do? And how would I feel if I already had blank? Notice in that equation, we're not starting with action. We're starting with who you have to be. Because let's say, for example, you go to a big event and the speaker says, you got to take massive action, which is doing. But let's say you grew up in a household like me where your dad was an alcoholic, or many households where, like, my dad is an alcoholic and never stayed committed to anything ever. Ever, except drinking beer. That was, I mean, he was committed to that. That's why he's an alcoholic. But what I learned from him is that my dad never finished anything. He'd start projects, never finish. Very, very mediocre at his work. Show up half the time. So what I learned as a small kid is that it's okay not to finish things, which means I'm not committed. So even if I said I'm going to take massive action, subconsciously, I hold to my subconscious paradigm that I can't stay committed. So how can I stay committed to massive action, which is supposed to grow my business, when I can't even stay committed to that because I've never learned how to stay committed? Mm. Did that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
So that's why we look at this. What I ask you to write down is, we start with who do I have, which is a characteristic, a way of being. Who and how do I have to be? What is a way? And I tell people that what they want to do is, you want to be committed to being committed. Be committed to being committed, which most people aren't. So what you want to start with right now, every one of you listening, is, what is the most powerful way that I can be, that I can show up in my business, that I know is going to grow my business? That's where you want to work from. Then you want to go into the doing. What do I have to do? Okay. Well, then I have to, what, you know, create my funnels or whatever. Okay. But see, now you're doing something, but you're doing it from a powerful place of being, which drives the doing, which will actually then drive a feeling, because you'll feel a particular way. And this is really important. The reason I put feel in there is, we don't do what we think, we do what we feel. And if you actually feel bad, you're not going to do something. And if you feel good, you're going to do something. That's why I want you to know how you have to feel to get the outcome that you want. And the final part, as if I already had it, which was in the sentence. See, your subconscious mind does not know the difference between real and imagined. And when you imagine that you already have something, you are quite literally fooling your subconscious mind into believing that you have it. And when the subconscious mind believes that you have it, it will respond and act upon that. So that's the magic of that formula. But if you're not working from be, do, have, and you're not working from who you're being, you're going to keep spinning your wheels.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's just, that's magic right there. And guys, I warned you that this is something that, go back and listen to this, again, or two or three times to just to let everything sink in. I know that we're covering a lot of different stuff here, but this stuff is, this has been the reason why my business looks drastically different this year, as we are entering, what are we in? Almost cute. Well, what quarter are we in?
I don't know.
We're entering September.
Part of my identity is I can't do math. So I think we're in quarter three.
As we're entering September of 2018, this is why my business looks drastically different, both from an external standpoint and an internal standpoint than it did last year. All of this work here that we're talking about with Jim, I could talk to you about this, as you know, for hours on end. We're gonna do a live training actually together on Thursday, September 13th. So we're gonna continue this conversation, and we're gonna dive more deeply into all these concepts. Basically, why mindset and hard work will not get you the results that you want in your business. We're gonna dive into all of that. We're gonna do live Q&A. I can't wait for it. So I want to just share with everybody. So Thursday, September 13th at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time, and the link to register for this training. So Jim and I are going to be on there, and Jim is going to be sharing his training with you. The link is rickmulready.com/transformation. So again, that's rickmulready.com/transformation. And you can register for this free training with Jim and me. Again, it's Thursday, September 13th at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. I'll have it in the show notes for the episode here today. Anything else that you want to wrap up here with, Jim?
Yeah. Let me tell him, because we've jumped around here and I moved really fast, and then we've got a busy day today. But on that online training, whatever you do, mark your calendar and be on that training. And let me ask you this, relative to what we've just been talking about, the fact that you're listening now means that you want to grow your business. Otherwise, why would you be here? So what a lot of people do is they mark their calendar, they think about it, and they don't show up for an online training. So let me ask you, how often do you demonstrate that same kind of behavior in your business? So mark your calendar, commit to attend, and let me tell you what we're going to do on that training. It's going to be obviously very structured, unlike today. This was just a podcast. We're going to talk about your unconscious habits, how you create them, and what to do instead. I'm going to show you how you operate on autopilot and you don't even know it. We're going to talk about subconscious reprogramming, how to reprogram your subconscious mind. We're going to talk about your identity, meaning who you are at a core subconscious level. We're going to talk about something, and I will show you, which we didn't even cover today. I call it the master thought formula, how to shift your thoughts instantly by recognizing that you're not even your thoughts. And then we're going to talk about characteristics and ways of being. What characteristics would you need to be at an identity level to create the outcome that you want in your business? So again, mark your calendar, plan to attend, commit to attend, and that training alone will shift your business for you.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to share and finish up with.
I love it. Again, it's Thursday, September 13th at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. The link again is rickmulready.com/transformation. Come hang out with Jim and me. We're going to be talking all about that stuff that Jim just mentioned and doing a live Q&A. Jim, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's always great to talk to you, and really appreciate it, my man.
You too, brother. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. So as we mentioned, Jim and I are going to be hosting a live training where we're going to go into all of this stuff that we talked about here today on a much deeper level. And Jim is going to show you how to master your mind and use your brain to develop the habits and thinking of super successful entrepreneurs. Now, in this training, if you're looking for a rah-rah motivational training, this is not it. What Jim teaches, this is science-proven mind-brain approach to high performance in life and business. And I cannot wait to bring this training to you. It's going to go down on Thursday, September 13th at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. And you can reserve your spot at rickmulready.com/transformation. As I've been talking about here, Jim has helped me so much in the last 8 months of 2018 here, specifically regarding my mindset and the exact way that I need to be thinking to continue to grow my seven-figure business, especially with a baby on the way. Getting my mind straight and how it's affected my business has been such a massive help and given me so much comfort in knowing that, you know, how much I've grown and getting ready for the baby to come. So as I've been helped by him, please let me help you also with this training with Jim. So make sure to mark your calendar, attend this training, and when it's done, you are going to agree that it's a game changer for you as well. Again, the link is rickmulready.com/transformation. As always, my friends, thank you so much for listening to the show here. Really appreciate it. I've got another quick tip episode coming your way later this week. So until then, and as always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.